This conference is being recorded.
There you go.
Okay. So welcome, Glenda and Lori. Thank you so much for joining us. So my name is Holly Thomas, and I'm a student of Sheva's, and I'm also part of her Heart Mastery Program. So just a little background on Sheva first, who she is and what her company is about. Sheva is the CEO of a company called Fiera. Fiera is a word she invented to define that great feeling in your heart when you're aligned with yourself and you just know, an intuitive knowing. Fiera is the opposite of stress. So take a moment to remember or reactivate a time when you just knew, maybe without knowing how you knew, or a time when you felt deep appreciation for someone or something. It turns out that what you just did is good for your health, your brain, and your body. At Fiera, we give individuals and healthcare providers a scientifically proven roadmap to get to that great feeling called Fiera and sustain it no matter what's going on around them. Fiera is a licensed company. It's licensed by a company called HeartMath, where researchers have proven that positive feeling states like Fiera, not only feel good, but they're good for you. So feeling good creates a distinctly ordered rhythm in the heart that facilitates improved brain function and immunity, as well as synchronizes the nervous system and hormones, balancing 97% of all your body's functions. That spells increased energy, stamina, more optimum weight and blood pressure, clear thinking and decision-making, pain relief, and reversal of many of the underlying causes of anxiety, depression, and stress, all without drugs or surgery. On most of our Fiera calls, there are people who are struggling with all different types of stressors or who have loved ones who are, including health challenges, pain, relationship problems, money issues, eating disorders, career transitions, addictions, obesity, anxiety, and depression. There are also folks who join in who are looking to get the edge on performance or maximize their time. For example, Olympic athletes, actors and artists, entrepreneurs, and executives. I welcome you all to the call tonight. Whatever your background or goals, I am happy to say that all of you can receive tangible benefits from HeartMath's research and tools from Fiera's training. So Fiera's mission statement is to bring more Fiera into the world. In other words, to help more people feel better more often. In alignment with that mission, these Heart Start to Your Week calls have a twofold purpose. Number one, we're here first to give you an oasis of positivity, something to look forward to in your week, and a chance to recharge through the power of feel-good stories that capture the potential of the heart and inspire hope. Secondly, we're here to introduce you to the power of the HeartMath system as taught through Fiera training so that you can see a clear avenue of access for yourself and those you care about to feel better more often. With practical tools at your fingertips, you will honestly be able to say that you never have to suffer another bad day. In other words, this call is to pave a practical path for you to create powerful, positive stories of your own. And I can admit that that's true for myself, and I'm going to be giving you guys one of my positive stories as well. So whether you or someone you love has a health concern and they want answers for, or is seeking relief from anxiety and depression, or just wants to find purpose and make a true difference in the world, these calls are a place where you can hear the how-to of how to start with the power of the heart. So tonight I'm hoping that my little story and connecting it with what Sheva does with the HeartMath system, I'm hoping that you guys will get the following three things from this. You'll learn the science and physiology of feeling good, stuff I love. I love the science and physiology of it. You'll learn what gets in the way of feeling good. You'll learn how to feel better more often. and to help others do the same. So bear with me because there's about 20 years of research, and I personally have 1 year of experience. Sheva has 15 to cover in 1 hour. So look at this as an hors d'oeuvre, and we'll also tell you where and how you can get the whole meal. So the topic today is, what is it that you really want? So if you guys have paper and pencil next to you, that would be fabulous, because I'm going to just have you write down a few things throughout the call. The first thing would be to write this down. What is it that you really want? Something that I didn't tell you is I actually became a licensed heart math provider myself in February. And I get the opportunity to sit down now with clients and ask them this very same question the very first day that we work together. And there's actually a lot of confusion, actually. I'm finding a lot of clients can't actually answer that question. And I remember a time when I wasn't able to answer that for myself, so I have a lot of compassion for being in that place. So a lot of people get stumped on that question. And I'd like to address how answering that question can actually relieve a lot of stress, and how not knowing the answer to that question can actually cause a lot of stress. Second part of that is, how many of you, when you look at what it is you really want, and you can kind of, as I go through this call, you can sort of jot things down as it comes to your mind. Could be health. Could be you want a family. Could be you want a career that you're in love with, or a relationship that you're in love with. Well, as you start to write things down, I want you to take a look and see how many of the things that I'm writing down are things that I'm trying to move away from. In other words, are motivated by fear, anxiety, worry, or another word for that is stress. For example, what is it I really want could be answered, I don't want to feel this way anymore. That would be an example of trying to move away from something. And from my perspective and the way that I'm going to illustrate this position in my story and example today, is that if we're moving away from something that is motivated by fear, anxiety, worry, or stress, we're essentially working against ourselves. And the physiology of stress manifests itself in the following ways. When you're feeling these feelings of fear, anxiety, worry, etc., you're actually producing cortisol, releasing cortisol into the body. And some of us know or don't know that it's actually been touted in a lot of magazines and on TV as being a stress hormone. And it's not that the hormone itself is all that bad. It's just that when we are dumping cortisol into our system, just by having thoughts that are fear-based, we're actually doing a big disservice to our body. And it's one of the reasons why some of the leading diseases and illnesses that we have here in our nation tend to have higher cortisol, lower DHEA levels in people who are afflicted by these diseases. The other thing that happens is our immune system gets suppressed. So when we're feeling these feelings, our immune system is compromised. We tend to get more sick, more tired. And the third thing that happens is our higher brain functions tend to shut down. So as soon as we start to feel worry or anxiety or fear, we start to move into the limbic system, the limbic part of the brain, which is essentially the fight or flight reptilian brain. Our higher brain functions actually shut down. So when we need to be able to think clearer or be creative in our problem solving, we actually shut that down and pinch it off going into stress. So the other side of that is when you look at what is it you really want, do some of your responses to that look like something that you're moving towards? Moving towards in terms of joy, love, passion, core values, Sierra. When we're moving in life towards something, these are the feelings that we're having. And the result of it from a physiological standpoint is we're releasing good hormones, DHEA, endorphins, and we're actually increasing our immune system and opening our higher brain centers. So this is where we start to get more creative in our problem solving, more creative in our art. So I guess as we're going through this, in order to keep this story relevant to you, I would like you to just keep in mind whether you're doing things in life in response to stress that is moving away from it, or if you're doing things as you're moving towards things in life that are joyful, passionate, and heartfelt. So I'm going to introduce my story from the perspective of moving away from something. I was actually born and raised in a family where my mother was a dancer, and she actually had a dance studio right in our garage, actually. We had a 3-car garage in our house. And so I started taking dance lessons as early as 3. I would just put on my tutu when I'd come home from school, and I'd walk out and go into my garage, and I'd join the dance classes all afternoon. And so you'd think this is every girl's dream, right? Well, not exactly, not at least for me. My experience was fraught with the mixed boundaries between mother, daughter, teacher, student. It was very challenging having my mother as my dance teacher and having the dance studio connected to my home. So much of my self-approval got played out and tested in the studio. To complicate things, as I got older, I often disagreed with the teaching approach my mother took, but I had the perception that I didn't have a choice because it was in my family. It was all I knew. It was essentially an unchallenged system. So later I began to teach this system and continued to feel out of alignment with the approach. My mom actually gave me the opportunity to start teaching at 15. And I didn't really have the first clue how to teach, so I mimicked and copied everything that she taught me. It was sort of a survival mode. And I wanted to do it. It was a great opportunity to teach at 15 years old and make great money. So I did it. Yet I knew that it didn't feel right to me, and yet I couldn't explain why. So I just did it. I made good money, and I ignored the unrest inside of me. And if you guys are sitting in curiosity wondering what the heck was she teaching, she was teaching dance to 3-year-olds in a way that, God bless my mother, I love her to death, but she had her own patterns running that she had to control the class. And so it didn't matter if they were 3 or they were 5 or they were 10. She wanted to see a particular form of organization in class. And in hindsight, it was coming from a place of she needed to look good as a teacher. So she needed the kids to learn and the kids to remember and the kids to do it right. So she had 3-year-olds, you know, all standing in a perfect line when really 3-year-olds should be expressive and creative and kinetic, you know, all these things that I felt at 15 I couldn't articulate. I didn't know any better. So that just gives you a little background so you don't think my mom was beating the kids. It wasn't like that. Okay. So anyway, as I started teaching, I brought my own anxiety and performance issues into it and really started to feel like a fraud. I felt like I had to pretend I knew how to teach and I could pretend I knew how to dance, and I had all these performance anxieties. So I would find ways to cope with the discomfort. I found ways to numb the stress. I was constantly trying to be a better teacher, to feel better, to get rid of the anxiety. And the irony of it is, even after teaching, honestly, I taught for 20 years before I stopped teaching last year, I still had anxiety when I would come to the studio. It was so hardwired into me that I didn't have any other way of being. So all the experience in the world didn't change the nervous tension and the anxiety I had going in to teach. So this is an example of moving away from something. Doing something that is motivated by fear, anxiety, worry, disharmony, and so on. Its motivation is survival. So guess which part of the brain it's using? It's using the reptilian brain. I would go in to teach, and instead of bringing forward my creativity, I was pinching it off. And the result is a default mode of stress. So stress runs down your system, and eventually the system begins to fail. So here's what ended up happening. I still hadn't asked the question, what is it that I really wanted? And when I graduated from college at 24, having majored in sociology, which my parents both vehemently disagreed with and thought it was completely useless, I decided to take over the studio because I honestly didn't know what else to do. I was afraid. I didn't trust myself. I didn't know what I wanted. So I was moving away from fear, failure, and indecision. It was around my ninth year of owning the dance studio that the stress of not asking myself the question, what is it that I want, finally caught up to me. Again, stress causes an increase in cortisol in the system. Mental acuity diminishes. Stress actually warps your perception of things. And I'll show you in this situation. I had the studio at my ninth year. I was so successful, I was able to buy a house in a beach city, not far from my studio. I was able to get the studio running essentially on its own and from the office perspective, enough that I could take very elaborate trips in the summer. And I had 15 teachers working for me. I had 350 students. I was extremely successful, and yet I was completely mired in insecurity. So my perception was completely warped. I would walk in thinking that the kids hated me and that I couldn't teach, even though I'd been teaching for, 16 years and people loved me. And I continued to get sick. I experienced extreme fatigue. And finally, my ninth year, my memory started to go. So I would be behind the desk with my office girls and all of the parents buzzing around the desk, and they'd be handing me checks and registration forms, and the phone would be ringing and kids asking me questions, and I would literally be completely frozen in anxiety to the extent that I couldn't even remember what I was doing. So I was throwing checks in the trash, and I was keeping registration forms in my hand, and I was not knowing who I was talking to when I got back on the phone. It was an unbelievably visceral experience of what stress, enduring stress, can actually do to your physiology. So my system was failing because I had failed to address the question, what do I really want? And I was essentially being motivated by fear, and I had no direction. I was still trying to prove myself to everyone, to my mom, my dad, my friends, my students, my community. So I began at this time, at year 9, to start kind of looking inward, going into a journey of self-exploration. I spent nearly $30,000 in 2 years on programs and workshops and seminars and books, which I read cover to cover, and I took every book like it was the Word of God and I was going to try it. And it was quite an adventure. And it actually kept me hopeful while I was running my business. I kind of straddled two worlds. Anyway, all of these experiences were wonderful, and I grew phenomenally as my awareness of self increased. However, none of the tools I learned were easy to integrate into my day-to-day life. They were methods. I literally had to take little little monastic retreats. You know, I'd have to go off to Sedona for a week and regain my balance and strength. And unfortunately, like most vacations, like a Hawaiian vacation, I would come back and I'd have to merge back into life. And eventually I would just get swallowed up in my default mode way of being. Stress started to come back in. It's the default mode that we rely on when we go there. So I love to use this analogy, and bear with me because I want to use this analogy to talk about our patterns and default modes being similar to a cluster of cables or wires running from a few sets of circuits in the brain to another. They say we use like 10% of our brain. I think heart math will enable people to open up more than 10% of their brain. Did you guys see the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? Either of
no.
you?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Well, I'm going to just quote. I'm going to say this quote that actually came from the movie and see if it makes sense to you guys. So Joe Dispenza was in the movie. He's a chiropractor, and he says, neurons that fire together wire together. So that's, in a sense, patterning that we continue to use or thoughts that we continue to have on a day-to-day basis actually become stronger. So for feeling anxiety, like in my case, those neurons that fire together, wire together, anxiety becomes a default mode. And essentially, neurons that don't fire anymore lose a long-term relationship. They actually disconnect. So if we're not feeling the feelings of love or peace or harmony, we're actually losing the long-term relationship. Good news is you can get it back. So think of those clusters of cables in the brain sort of being linked with a few others that it uses a lot over and over again. Default mode. We need a certain level of repetition and consistency to run our programs, right? So this is actually, from an evolutionary standpoint, this is really brilliant because we wouldn't want to wake up every morning having to relearn how to walk or dress or tie our shoes or how to eat. So it's a good thing that we have this programming and this patterning. It's how we've survived and how we're evolving. But what about when we program in a pattern we don't really want to repeat unconsciously? Like, for example, a pattern to avoid healthy relationships, or a pattern of thinking we can't do something, or a pattern of putting ourselves down. But I know none of us have those patterns, right? Why would anyone groove a pattern like that? Many of these patterns and programs were actually, I believe, adopted at an early age. And in my situation with the dance studio, it was grooved at a very early age. And it was actually reinforced over a period of 20 years. You know, the anxiety of going in, worrying if I can teach these kids without hurting them or harming them, being out of alignment with the teaching methods I was given, it was a lot of cluttering anxiety going on every time I stepped into the studio. So every time I felt that feeling, I was essentially regrooving that pattern. And there was a time when I was teaching 6 days a week. So I was constantly in a state of high cortisol, low immune system, decreased brain function. But I survived, and I guess we all survive. It's just a matter of quality of life. So think for a moment in your own life, and this is another place where I'd like you to sort of, on that piece of paper, just maybe draw a line in the center and ask yourself another question. Are there any assumptions you've made about who you are and what you're doing here? Maybe that's too out there. My husband doesn't like questions like that. It's too big, like, why am I here? So maybe this way of phrasing it will make it more grounded. Maybe it's a simple question such as, are there any metaphorical glass ceilings in your life? Metaphorical glass ceilings, like are there things or people or experiences or feelings that you have essentially determined are off limits to you? You know, and really think about it. And don't be afraid to be honest with yourself and write it down. This is for you. And it's a solid way to determine what you've been programming yourself to feel. In other words, it could be your default mode, like the fish in the sea. Do you think the fish has an awareness of the water it swims in? Maybe if it's an enlightened fish, it is. It knows. Or perhaps if somebody pulls it out of the water and sets it on the side of the dock, it will be aware of the water that it swims in. But our default modes and patterns are so transparent to us, we don't really know we're creating our lives through their templates. So how does this relate to fear and the heart map tools? Definitely going to get to that. If you have a desire to rewire your programming to allow more feel-good feelings, more Fiera into your life, you first need to become aware of your patterns. And like I said before, you know, as a heart math provider, a new heart math provider, when I sit down with my clients and I ask them this question, what is it that you want? I'm actually amazed at how many people haven't asked themselves that question. Understandably, are we ever taught to ask that question for ourselves? So the heart math tools are very helpful in helping you answer that question. Heart math tools are revelatory. They reveal your heart's blueprint. They help you identify your core values and what it is that you want. Heart math tools are also, because they're guided by your heart's blueprint, they're essentially your compass for life. So you no longer have to step out and ask your friend's opinions or your therapist's opinions or constantly get different advice from different books. Because everybody's belief system varies a little, so you're always going to get different advice. Why not tap into your own intuition and your own heart's desires? The heart math tools literally show you how. It's not a theory out there. It's very simple and it's very profound at the same time. And the heart math tools are practical. You can use them on your feet. So during that time that I was doing all of these expensive and intense programs, I had a blast. I absolutely loved it. But I can tell you that when I would come back from these workshops and these seminars, it was not often too complicated or too convoluted to actually apply in the moment. And again, most of the workshops and seminars I took weren't actually offering my own heart's blueprint. They were offering me a lot of other people's blueprints as to how to find my own, which is great, but it just takes a lot longer. This is so direct, and it's so at your fingertips because you're not going to leave your heart behind. It's going to be with you everywhere. And the tools are very simple and very practical. So I don't want to leave my story hanging without the ending. I just want to let you guys know I did finally sell my business on my 12th year of owning it, and I was able to go out with a lot of peace. I really spent a lot of time mulling over whether I was going to sell it or not. It was shortly after that I began working with Sheva and the HeartMath system, and thank God I did, because selling my business was like unplugging my old programs. You know, I'd given 3 years of serious consideration to the decision, And you know, once I did, it was awesome. I have no regrets. But I had no idea what I was going to do or how I was going to replace the old programming. And this is when Sheva really helped me take a look at the question, what is it that I really want? And she guides you step by step. And you can apply that question to anything in your life. In fact, when somebody comes to you or let's say somebody calls you on the phone, and you see their name on your caller ID, it's a moment for you to ask, what is it I really want? Or when you're having emotional turmoil over some decision you're making, this is a very, very direct way to get to the core, to cut through what you really want. And Sheva's wonderful at teaching you how to do that, and the Heart Mastery Program is wonderful at really locking you into it and creating new grooves, new neural nets for doing that automatically. So I would like to just move to some key points, and then I really do want to have some time to answer some questions and give you guys the information for Sheva's class coming up. Just some key points I would love for you to take away from this. The HeartMath tools actually expand your awareness rather than contract it. So you're actually transforming stress by moving towards something, something that's joyful, something that drives your passion, rather than away from it, such as fear, anxiety, etc. Heart tools are always available to you because they are within you. And Sheva's class shows you how to access your own blueprint for living, so you no longer have to look outside of yourself for the answer. Heart tools move you through your life at your pace. It's awesome because it unfolds as you're ready to move forward. Heart tools are really dynamic, and it's like wherever you are in your life, using these tools is going to move you to the next step. It's so intuitive and elegant. It knows what steps to give next because it's your heart. It's your heart intelligence. And heart tools, by default, they transform stress to success because you actually learn to take the momentum of a challenge, let's say running against a herd of wild horses or making a decision about taking a job, and instead they harness the power of the heart, which essentially moves you towards that which you prefer. So imagine harnessing those horses' power to pull a stagecoach to your dreams. You get there a lot faster than running through the horses. So we promised that tonight we would have a practical path and the how-to of how to start feeling better more often with the power of the heart. And the best way to begin is in a beginner's class. So I'm going to just hit some of these key points that Sheva has for you in a teleclass or a workshop. This is actually what you're going to receive. You get a biofeedback technology called an M-Wave, which actually shows your heart rhythms in real time. So it's like your own stress iPod. I love this. I use this every day. You're going to learn the science and physiology of stress and of feeling good. You're going to learn a way to neutralize stress on the spot. Whatever stress is for you, when you hear the word stress, keep in mind that it's your own internal software. It's whatever's running in you. And that, of course, could be anything like anger, depression, anxiety. All of that creates a stress response in our body and shuts down our system. You're going to learn a proven way to lower stress hormones, increase the rejuvenating anti-aging hormones, such as DHEA. And Sheva also offers a pre- and post-testing on your hormone and neurotransmitter levels, which is something that your doctors may not even do. You'll learn a field-tested way to transform stressful situations and gain the power to resolve communication challenges and relationship conflict and stress. I use this extensively in my relationship when I first started getting the tools. And I am married. I just got married in July of last year. So it was wonderful. And I don't know that I would have made it even this far in the relationship if I didn't have those tools. They say the first year of marriage is the most challenging. So you'll learn how to reset the baseline of your nervous system to reduce your reactivity and fatigue, leaving you more centered and full of energy at the same time. You will learn how to use more of your brain. That 10% that we talk about, apparently we only use 10% of our brain. You will learn to use more of it. And for certain, staying out of stress will keep you from using less of it when you need it. And you will learn 5 simple processes that you can use anywhere, anytime, to access the wisdom of your heart, to maneuver through challenges and generate a life of true joy and vitality. So these tools empower you to synchronize your nervous system, which actually slows the aging process, balances hormones, enhances your energy, your health, and your immune system, and optimizes your brain function and performance. But to me, the best thing about this is you just feel better. You just feel better, and you perceive things in a completely different way. My experience when I use these heart tools is that life seems brighter, and the things that used to throw me off into anxiety loops for hours are like little bumps in the road, if that, hardly noticeable. So Sheva wants everyone to know that she's got a teleclass, a beginner teleclass, starting tomorrow from 5 to 6:30. I encourage you to join. And if you can't make it for that, she has a workshop coming up, an in-person one-day workshop, June 16th. So the cost is $546.49, which is a deal because it comes with the M-Wave, that personal stress reliever iPod. It's a really good value, and you get to work with Sheva, who I think it's such a great opportunity. So I guess I will open it up to questions since we have 10 minutes left. And does anybody have any questions? Either it can relate to what I just asked or what I just talked about with the studio and my life, or you can ask any question you want. Just fire away.
So, this is Laurie. You studied other sort of directions on healing and trying to, you know, find what you need. And how was it that it led you to the heart math and the one-year program that you said that you did? And what is that program?
Okay. So, yes, I did a lot of different workshops. The one that I was talking about was a two-year spiritual psychology program. So it was actually a program where you go to unravel your belief systems. You essentially spend 2 years going into a process of taking traditional psychology tools and throwing in some very unconventional, beautiful heart tools. It was a wonderful program. I spent 2 years in that program, and essentially it was in that program that I found out about Sheva's coaching and about the HeartMath program. It was at that point that I was also deciding to pull out of the program because there was a lot of emotional catharsis that went on, and, you know, taking that in for nearly 2 years, I just really started to feel like I outgrew it, like I was done. I was ready to stop, you know, crying about how I felt when I was 5 and 4 and 3, and not to downplay the program at all. It was absolutely wonderful. I would say that from all the modes that I've studied, because I did some other stuff as well coming out of that program, that's where I spent most of my time and money coming out of the two-year spiritual psychology program. I also did another program called Avatar. And again, a mind-blowing, wonderful self-empowerment system. But it wasn't even that I couldn't ground the tools in my life. It was like alien. You would come home into your life, and it was completely impractical and essentially a little confusing. It almost created more of a labyrinth for my life than I cared to notice. And I think that was really sort of an intuitive move to leave that and to go to something that was more simple and more poignant. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the HeartMath?
And then HeartMath came in. I got HeartMath right as I was leaving the spiritual psychology program is when I called Sheva, because I heard about her in the spiritual psychology program. There were a couple people who knew about her and told me about her, and I gave her a call. And when I got together with her, I think I did eight one-on-one sessions with her, and she gave me all of the basic beginner tools, and we started to move into the intermediate tools. That was really where I got how succinct and direct these tools work. In other words, I had spent almost 2 years in a program where I still had no idea where my answers were coming from. I didn't know what I was chasing. I didn't know what I wanted, and I didn't know what my core values were. So it was, again, not to put the program down, it was kind of like sometimes workshops, self-empowerment workshops, tend to get sort of enshrouded in its own belief system. You know, you could kind of look at religion that way. There's a lot of really great core values and core messages that are in a lot of religions, but it can get so clouded and so convoluted in the belief systems that you really don't get a direct compass to your own purpose. And so I was able to get that with Sheva in such short time that it was really cool that I had almost like I could do a comparative with all the other systems that I had tried with HeartMath. And I can tell you that it's like HeartMath has like distilled the most important stuff from all of those empowerment workshops right down to its core. So they don't waste time with beliefs. It's about finding your belief system. And it's directed from that belief system, which is your heart.
That's great.
You did an excellent job. Holly, this is Darshan.
Hi, Darshan.
Hi, I'm sorry I signed on late. I was tied up, but caught enough of it to really enjoy your sharing. And, boy, you did a great job of defining, you know, so much of the self-help and spiritually-based belief systems that I, too, have seen, you know, quite a bit of.
So you've done your own comparative study, have you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You want to share some of that?
Well, sure. You know, I did a lot of EST in the 70s and, you know, went with the intellectual based, sat with Lee Lozowick, who was a Western guru, and did a lot of, like Sylvan Mind Control and, you know, did some chain meditation practices and just an awful lot of things to where it was mostly sifting through large piles of beliefs for incredible sensitivities, either that or it was incredible intellectualization with no depth of heart, you know, and, you know, just... such a beauty. You know, I met Sheva in another spiritual, you know, coming together. That there was a clicking of hearts together. In fact, I called her Shiva for years because I met her at a silent retreat. She wrote her name out. And I never knew it was Sheva. We write letters and emails and things like this until these heart calls started. So it was hilarious.
That's great.
I never knew how to pronounce her name.
She's Shiva the Destroyer.
Yeah, exactly. I always
the Destroyer of stress.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anyways, there's such a beauty there. But, you know, I feel a lot of the same radiance from you and your sharing too, Holly, is just the awareness of what is here with this inner leading and speaking that's so available and yet so little turned to, so little faced, so rarely faced. And it's such a beauty in this work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm so glad you came on. We got to get another perspective.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, what I'm going to do is just wrap up with a little clues because I want to do justice to Sheva's wonderful writing. So thanks so much for your time. Sheva would love for us to take a moment to pay it forward. So connect with something that you appreciated or learned in today's call, and then connect with one person in your life that needs this good news or could benefit from receiving what you've learned, and commit to passing it on. So let people know about Sheva's work and Sierra and the HeartMath tools. And if you haven't experienced them yourself, Lori, I highly suggest you do. I guess we have three people who have experienced it. And Glenda, is there anything you want to say about it? We all got our two cents in.
Well, I don't know what work you've done before, but I do think that if you experience the heart math work or the heart mastery program, that you discover that what's there to be found is what we're looking for. Because if we're here to really be our true selves and know who we really are, experience ourselves magnificently, we're not going to be doing it by listening to all the garbage that's in our heads. And we're not going to be doing it by reciting new positive garbage into our heads. We'll only know it by connecting with what's there inside of ourselves, and seems to me like the seed of who we really are is in our hearts, and so that's where, for me at least, I think that the journey needs to be.
Beautiful.
I don't know where you are. Journey. You know, but it became bankrupt for me to be working with my mind and my thoughts, with my focus being only on that. I don't know if that's helpful to you. I hope so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Lori, do you have the Sheva's email and phone number or cell phone?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay. So all she had asked is if you decide to join Tuesday night's call that starts tomorrow, just to give her a call on her cell phone, the number that you should have, 581-1507. By Tuesday at 3:30, just, you know, just if you were thinking about it, just to get her a call by 3:30 tomorrow would be great. So that concludes the call. Thank you guys so much for your contribution. Thanks for listening to my story. This has been such an honor. And I guess I'll see you guys either on the Heart Mastery calls or in the classes or next Monday.
Thanks okay. so much.
Thank you,
right.
Molly.
Thank you, Darshan, for joining. Thanks, Glenda. Thanks, Lori.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.